Welcome to the Q&A episode for the Four Things podcast. I am Amy Brown, and we call this the fifth thing because, well, it happens after each Four Things episode. So every Thursday, a Four Things episode goes up, and then every Tuesday, I come on here and answer questions that y'all have submitted to fourthingswithamybrown@gmail.com. So big thank you to everyone that submitted questions. Full disclosure right now, if you hear a lot of banging or chainsaws, well, maybe not chainsaws, but like drills and sawing and stuff. It's a construction zone here at the radio station. The Bobby Bone Show is getting a brand new studio, so construction's going down until about like July or so, and it's just a little crazy up in here. So you may hear some noises. Maybe it feels louder to me because I'm right next to it. It may not be coming through the microphone, but I just wanted to give y'all a heads up that that's what that might be if you hear it. First question is from Melanie. Hey, Amy, I love all your tips and tricks. I'm currently finding the amount of information regarding healthy living everywhere a little overwhelming, though. So I was wondering, if you were just starting out on your healthy journey, what would you consider non-negotiable ingredients to incorporate into your diet and recipes? Same with exercise. So yeah, Melanie, I definitely have non-negotiables. And the first one would be dark leafy greens. Like, I have vegetables every day. If I don't, or I'm traveling, I travel with these little packets called Green Vibrance. And I have them up on my Amazon page. You can go to radioamy.com to access those. But I dump that in about 8 ounces of water, shake it up. It doesn't taste the best. I don't care, but I chug that bad boy down and I know I'm getting some sort of greens. Or if I'm by a juice shop or something, I'll pop in and be like, do you have a wheatgrass shot? Or I'll drink a straight green juice, just some way to find greens. Now, I like to actually eat and eat greens like in a smoothie form or an actual salad. So that way I'm getting the fiber, because that's another thing I try to have every day is some sort of fiber, which you can get with dark leafy greens or even avocado, which is another great fat, but it's also a fiber. Or I sprinkle some ground up flax on my salad or something. So I would say there's two non-negotiables for you: greens, fiber. Also, I eat a lot more protein than I used to because I'm getting older, but I'm also working out and I know that my body needs it, but I don't always get it in animal form. There's plenty of days where I go by where I don't eat anything animal form, although I do have Vital Proteins, which is collagen peptides that comes from a cow. So, I mean, I am consuming that, but it's a powder form. I'm just saying I'm not sitting down eating like a big old hunk of chicken or a hunk of meat or something. But Vital Proteins is another thing I have every day. That's also on my Amazon page. I have my green tea or my matcha tea for caffeine. I drink tons of water. That's a non-negotiable. I try to get 100 ounces a day, but that's also because I work out. And, you know, when it comes – oh, another thing that I was going to talk to you about protein, which maybe I need to make this more of a thing, but there's like a lot of plants have some quality protein in there for you. So don't think just because, you know, you're trying to increase protein that that means it has to come from an animal, because – it doesn't. There's a lot of protein and nutrients or things that you can add to smoothies, like spirulina, or I put that even in my oatmeal that adds, you know, a different kind of protein for your body. And it's good to switch it up, variety. So when I say dark leafy greens, I don't try to eat like the same type of lettuce all the time. I really try to switch it up. Like if I go to the store one day, I'll buy a box of like spring mix or something. And the next day, or not the next day, the next few days, if I go back to the store for more, I'll get some arugula with spinach. And the next time I'll get some dinosaur kale, which I know what it's like to be overwhelmed, because I didn't start eating this way until about 2011. And my poor husband, we'd been married like 5 years at that point, and I did a 180 on my eating. And he would like come home from working all day at the Air Force base, and he'd be like, what is for dinner? And I'd be like, this. And he'd be like, this is kale and sweet potatoes. And I'd be like, yep, eat up. But, you know, I'm not as drastic as I was back then, but I was making a big shift. Like, I cut out all dairy. I cut out all meat. I cut out all gluten. I was trying to get pregnant, so I had a reason for my madness, but I felt so much better. And now I'm still not as, I'm not as strict as I used to be, but I'm still health conscious and very healthy. I've just sort of do more information than just that plan, or I've taken in more information than just that vegan lifestyle I was living. And now I incorporate a variety of things, and that's what works best for me. So that's what I encourage for y'all. Some other non-negotiables for me health-wise, would be sleep. Like, I definitely try to put an emphasis on sleep, like 7 to 8 hours if I can. And back to food, I didn't mention dark chocolate. I probably have dark chocolate every day. I love Taza. It's a brand, T-A-Z-A, dark chocolate. They have a wicked dark one that's 95% dark chocolate. It's intense. Like, if you don't like dark chocolate, you probably won't like it. But if you do, I say go for it. And, you know, a few little squares and you're good to go. And there's like barely any sugar in it at all whatsoever because it's so dark. But a tip for dark chocolate is, I would say, if you could at least make sure that it's 72% or higher, then you're going to avoid, you know, having dairy in there or it being too sugar filled or something like that. So make sure you find dark chocolate that's 72% or higher. And I keep it in the freezer and I nibble on it every day. I travel with it. I always have a bar of dark chocolate in my four things tote, or like if I'm at the airport. One thing you can always find with me in my tote when I'm traveling is lemons, a little packets of Vital Proteins, and dark chocolate. Those and the Green Vibrance things. I always have a little baggie full of that inside my tote. Another quick non-negotiable for me is I do take a probiotic every day. I do the hot lemon water in the morning. And then I also take a good probiotic. So hopefully that helps. Exercise-wise, you know, I think you just got to figure out what's best for you. There are so many different things out there. Yeah, like there's running, there's yoga, there's weights, there's Tabata, there's bar, there's cardio. There's all the things, but squeeze in what you can. Just make sure you're getting your heart rate up. You know that you're challenging yourself and you feel good about it. And also give your body recovery days. Make sure that you're resting as well. But yeah, I don't really focus on, oh, how many calories did I eat today? How many calories did I burn today? I try to fuel my body properly, not skip any meals, if I can help it, and make sure I'm getting enough. And then also just making sure I'm having like some good workouts, like weight train 3 days a week, getting in some cardio. I've recently started running, which is crazy. I haven't been a runner in years, but the last 2 weeks, y'all, I have started running, and I gotta admit, I kind of like it. I thought I was gonna hate it. I thought I was going to literally hate it, but I knew I needed to it was me listening to my body. And Erin, Oprah, she's my trainer. She actually was encouraging me. She's like, I think you need to up your cardio. I think we're kind of seeing some things happen with your body. Let's see if the cardio will help it. And it has. I feel so much better. And I was just kind of holding on to some weight for some reason. And I don't know how much because I don't weigh myself, but I just felt my clothes fitting differently. And ever since I've started running, my clothes are fitting better. So I guess that was the solution. My body just needed like some running to help shake off some stuff it was holding on to. So I just listen to my body. I definitely incorporate yoga, walking with girlfriends, you know, dancing in the kitchen with my kids. I count that as exercise. Like, we'll turn on music and we just dance around, and sometimes for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, boom, I just got 10 minutes of cardio in. Next question is from Allison. Hey, Amy, I know you've talked on your podcast about specific clothing items or styles, and you've mentioned having help from Kelly with Velvet's Edge. Myself, being active duty military and being a mother, I have some serious wardrobe struggles since I'm mostly in uniform and I'm still trying to find my new mom style. I also need to clear some space in my closet, like big time, but I don't know how to decide whether or not I should hold on to something. So, Allison, I get it. Yeah, it's hard to find your style, especially, I mean, I kind of am like, oh, lucky you. You're in the military. You have a uniform to wear to work every day. I kind of wish the Bobby Bones Show had a uniform to wear to work every day. Like, getting dressed would be so much easier. But also, it's probably fun to be able, you probably, grass is greener where you're like, oh, I wish I got to wear whatever I want to work every day. So I know it's hard to find your style, but Kelly from Velvet's Edge, she's amazing. And she does do my styling. And for events, which is great. I don't always have an event, but I do feel super awesome whenever she dresses me because I know I would never pick some of that stuff out on my own. But I never thought I'd be someone that has a stylist, and I get it. Like that just seems so weird to me to even say that. So not everybody can have that, but she does have velvetsedge.com where there's tips up there. And she has an episode on her podcast. It's actually episode 2 called Bringing Sexy Back with Annie Saltieres. And she's Justin Timberlake's stylist and Dierks Bentley's. And she talks about how just having like a great pair of jeans and some awesome t-shirts and boom, that's your wardrobe. Like that could be your, that could be your mom style. I mean, I love that. I found some good jeans that I love, which I've done a whole, you know, episode before in a Four Things podcast about my favorite jeans and, you know, a good vintage t-shirt or maybe like just a plain white t-shirt or something cute and comfy, or maybe like a cute little Espoir Pimp and Joy t-shirt or something that, you know, we try to make those, that stuff cute for you guys. But, you know, throw that on with some Birkenstocks or some sneakers and boom, you're good to go. And as for clearing out your closet, that is so hard. I know it's hard to let go of stuff, but you know, there's that Netflix show, the Marie Kondo show, which I watched a few of those episodes. And what she does with her clients is when they're cleaning out their closet, you know, she has them go item by item and hold each thing up and be like, does this piece of clothing spark joy? And if it doesn't, then they donate it. And if it does, then they keep it. So, oh, also quickly before you donate it, you thank that item of clothing for its time with you and it, that it no longer serves you. And then you donate it. So maybe that will help you get rid of stuff. Like, why am I holding on to this? Is this bringing me any joy? When is the last time I honestly wore it? And then make a decision based on that. That way you can have like a clear inventory of what you have once you clear out your closet and maybe some key items that you need to buy. One of my friends, Madison Nelson, has some of the cutest clothing style tips and at like a really like affordable price point. She shares a lot of stuff on her Instagram and it is at Hey Maddie Nelson. So HeyMaddieNelson. So that's her Instagram. I highly recommend y'all check her out. She's just the cutest and she's a mom. She's got a baby. She's got one on the way. So she's pregnant right now, but I love her style and also too, like the price point of it as well. So next question is from Laura Lee. I'm the mom of a 3.5-year-old and an 8-month-old. And now that the baby is eating, I'm trying to be more mindful about what we're all eating. I want to make being healthy and feeling good a priority, but it is difficult to please everyone, which leads me to my next question of what you do with your children. I'm sure that they had different tastes being raised in an orphanage in Haiti. So do you all eat the same thing or do you make separate meals and do you have any go-to dinners? Quickly, I'll say the go-to dinner for me and my husband is I always have a baked spaghetti squash in the fridge, like ready to go, because I feel like that goes with so much. Or cauliflower rice. So that's like a veggie that I know that I can whip up with any sort of meat for my husband or fish that will taste good. And you can also change like the sauce or the toppings or whatever you put on it to like mix the meal up. So that is a big go-to dinner for us. But my kids, they love them some rice and beans, like straight up. We have more rice and beans than probably anybody. But again, that's because that's what they had at the orphanage and that's what they love. They also love like a crock pot chicken noodle soup that's so easy, hamburger patties with sweet potatoes and like roasted sweet potatoes. They love that. They love just eating an avocado. I cut it in half and they share it. And that's sort of something I have to encourage them to eat. But once they do eat it, they're like, oh, that was actually good, Mom. We do a lot of eggs for breakfast because I talk to them about how it helps their brain be smart. I try to avoid being like, here, eat this because it's healthy. I try to explain what it's doing to their body and why it's good. Like my son is obsessed with growing taller and getting muscles. And my daughter too wants to like feel good. So I explained to her, well, if you want to eat all the junk that you like to eat, like that's ultimately not going to make you feel as good. Like this is why Mom eats this way. Cause I just feel better and I function better and I'm in a better mood and you know, I'll grow healthy muscles. Maybe I say healthy muscles. I don't put the food as like, oh, this is healthy. Eat your vegetables. So my son is like, oh yeah, I want to grow tall and I want to have muscles. So he like straight up eats salad all the time. And then my daughter is obsessed with making these smoothies and she now adds spinach to the smoothies. And if y'all know my daughter, that's huge. Like it's a big, big deal now. Like I'm so proud of her. And that's a decision that I nudged her to make, but I wasn't forceful with it. But I do feel like as parents, we have a responsibility to make sure that our kids are getting nutritious foods. And then I went to, another tip too that I do when, you know, I was saying like I don't try to say this is healthy. I try to say why it's good for you. But I also say this is yummy. Like I'll just be like, oh no, eat this. It's yummy. Like instead of being like, it's so healthy, because in a kid's brain, if they hear something is yummy, this was a tip I learned a while ago, that they're more likely to want to give it a try than if they hear the word healthy. So just heads up on that. And then I went to parents.com and found a couple of things that they had as tips, which this could just be good in general. So I'll run through it quickly. Be a role model when it comes to food. So if you're constantly on a diet or having erratic eating behaviors, then your children are going to grow up thinking that this sort of behavior is normal. So be honest with yourself about the kinds of food messages that you're sending. And I think this is so important. Like keep this one in your back pocket, even if you don't have kids yet that are eating. Like just remember this. They are watching you and they see your relationship with food. And I feel like I started dieting too young because some dieting was brought into my household at a young age. And then I started dieting way too young. And I truly believe that is what led to, even though I had emotional stuff going on that counselors told me led to my eating disorder, like my dad leaving, blah, blah, blah. But now as an adult and I've really worked through it, I think it was like dieting at a really young age that then sent me to having an eating disorder, because I was depriving my body and it didn't really know what to do. So it started freaking out. And then my relationship with food got all out of whack. And so just remember that, like, if you want to be on a diet and do your own thing, and I have to hold myself accountable to this too, because I know there's sometimes I've been like, oh no, I'm not going to eat that. And then my kids will be like, why, mom, is it going to make you fat? And I'll be like, well, yeah, I mean, I can't just eat a bunch of ice cream like kids can and stay skinny. But then now that's in their head, like I don't want them to think, oh, I can't be a kid and maybe enjoy some ice cream because it might make me fat. Like I have to watch that. So we have to be aware. Like you can be on your own plan, but don't obsess about it in front of your kids and make it like a big deal. Bite your tongue. As hard as it may be, try not to comment on what or how much your kids are eating. So try to be as neutral as possible. And remember that you've done your job as a parent by trying to serve balanced meals, and your kids are responsible for eating them. So if you play food enforcer, saying things like, you have to eat your vegetables, your child will only resist. So again, find ways to encourage them to eat the vegetables, like give them reasons why they're amazing, or find ways to just sneak them in. Also, cut back on the junk that's brought into the home, because it's you, not your kids, that are in charge of the foods that enter the house. So having fewer junk foods around will force your kids to make smarter choices. I keep a huge fruit bowl in the middle of my kitchen counter, and my kids grab from it more often than you would think. Like there's oranges and apples and mangoes and grapefruit and bananas, and it's all right there. And I keep it full all the time because I would much rather them, if they're hungry, like go to that fruit bowl first than try to go to the pantry and eat something processed that's not going to be as good for them. So maybe consider doing something like that if you don't already have a big fruit bowl on your counter. Next question is from Rebecca. Hey, Amy, I'm wondering what the difference between the Shop Forward and Shop Espoir is. I've heard you mention both and noticed they each have their own Instagram account, but they feature many of the same products. So quickly, Rebecca, well, I guess you have a part two to your question. Also, in regards to intermittent fasting, are coffee and vitamins allowed in the fasting stage? So I'll quickly answer that. Yes, coffee and vitamins are allowed. Take your vitamins with water and keep your coffee like with no sugar or milk or anything. And yes, you are still fasting if you're doing intermittent fasting, at least from what I've experienced and read and listened to and all that. So if you happen to be an intermittent fasting expert and you disagree, I'm sorry, but I have heard that coffee and vitamins are good to go. So Rebecca, as for the Shop Forward and the Shop Espoir, they are different, but they are also the same. So the Shop Forward is kind of the big umbrella of a lot of different brands that they collaborate with. And Mary runs that, and that's her baby. And so she works with a lot of different things that support various causes all over. Then there's also Shop Espoir, or Espoir, but on Instagram it's at Shop Espoir. And I run that Instagram. So if you're ever on there, if y'all guys want to go follow that, that's me running that account. And Mary runs the Shop Forward. But the reason why you see Espoir stuff on the Shop Forward is she promotes all of the brands that they work with, everything. And then Espoir is something that her and I started together that's under the Shop Ford umbrella that supports Haiti. So Espoir means hope in Haitian Creole, and we have a certain line of stuff that supports the causes that we work with there. And so that's, hopefully, that's like a quick way of me answering it, and hopefully that makes sense. And I feel like they are sawing out of control next door right now. So while I was talking, all I could hear was, I have no idea if y'all can really hear that or if it's super annoying. But yeah, that's kind of that's to answer your question. The difference is Mary and I, we founded Espoir together, but she founded the Shop Forward by herself. And then Pimp and Joy is under the Shop Forward brand. So I know it's kind of all over the place, but if you ever are confused, like if you ever click on items at the Shop Forward, you can scroll down to each item and see exactly what cause that's going towards. Like she has a Choose Joy line that goes, that also goes towards cancer stuff. Pimp and Joy doesn't always go towards cancer stuff, even though it started with it, because we've helped tons, like a variety of causes and military stuff. So yeah, if you go to the shopforward.com, anything you click on, you can do research on about what it's supporting, but anything under Espoir is going to be Haiti related. Hopefully that makes sense. And again, the Instagram handle that I run that I would love if y'all went to follow would be at Shop Espoir, but no pressure. Okay. Well, that's the end of today's Q&A. Thank you to everybody that sent in questions, and I will see y'all here Thursday for the four things. Okay. All right. Bye.